laughter and joy. The poem, of course, brings to mind one of the most powerful parables of Jesus of Nazareth, the workers in the vineyard. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like a wealthy landowner who hires some workers and promises them a full day's wage. And in the middle of the day, he sees some workers without work, and he hires them too. And at the end of the day, he pays them all a full day's wage, no matter how many hours they worked. They all get paid the same. The kingdom is like that, the parable proclaims. Universalists, we love this story. The kingdom is for everyone. It's a great universalist proof text. The story ends with Jesus rebuking the jealousy of the full-day workers. "I paid you what I promised you," the landowner says. "Why do you care? How could you be jealous that I gave the same, that I was kind to the half-day workers? It's my money, not yours." But I like to think of the story from the perspective of the laborers who were hired at midday. They went out in the morning to work, but nobody stopped at their corner. They stood there in the heat, waiting, and they wonder how they will feed their family that night. Some of you, I know, have been there without work, waiting and hoping and trying, but nothing coming up. You've been there. Some of you are there, and you know how hard it is. So when the landowner comes in the middle of the day, they take the job. A half day's work is better than none, but they still worry it is not enough. They anticipate a half day's pay. Of course, why would they expect any more than that? They'll go without, but the children will eat at least something, but not enough. But surprise, surprise. They line up, they receive a full day's pay, same as everyone else. This, says Jesus, is the kingdom of heaven. It is surprisingly generous. The holy, the sacred is love, surprisingly generous. Love is more than customs or what is expected. There is enough. There's enough. Love beyond custom, beyond belief, beyond the rules of what we expect. Surprise. Surprise. This is the message of Easter. Some thought that Jesus would lead a military revolution against the Romans, take up arms and defeat them in the field of battle. No, not the plan. Some thought that he would usher in a world of peace, an end of war. Not so much, I'm afraid. Some thought that he would fade away like so many other prophets into the dustbin of history, not remembered at all. Not exactly. Some thought they would open the tomb and find his body and bury it in the ground, but that's not how the story goes. Mark 16:8 is the original ending to the Gospel of Mark, and Mark is the first gospel written down 20 years before any of the others, and that's how the story ends. The tomb is empty. That's it. There's a messenger there, but you don't know what happens next. Surprise. Emptiness. Not what you expected. In Carl Scovel's story, who is it that understands the gospel? Not the one you might expect. The egg, like the tomb, has space. He's not here. He's not here. I like the original ending. It's always the one that I share on Easter. There are no appearances, no meeting on the road. He's just not there. Where is he? Where is he? Well, that is up to you. In your heart? Sure, if you want. If you feel him there, then there he is. If not, that's okay. I really, really don't think he would care, honestly. Or maybe he's a voice of the conscience of love sounding along the ages. Just as the voice sounds along the ages from Athens Market and Buddha's tree, it sounds from the shores of Galilee. Echoes in our living and our loving. Maybe that's where it went. Or maybe we don't know. It's a mystery. Or maybe where he went is where he was, a very human being. And thus, as Carolyn said in her testimony, more real to us than before. an example of what it might mean to live our lives infused with the spirit of love, overflowing the boundaries of what was and creating something new. Easter is surprising. To rise from the dead is not expected. This is why it's good news. Death at the hands of empire, this can be expected. You can count on that. The breaking out of love, that we do not expect. For things to go on mostly as they are, no surprise. For a revolution in the heart, that's a surprise. Jesus is surprising. A carpenter's son from Galilee, really? Born in a what? A barn? Come on. You got to be kidding. And those followers, tax collectors and fishermen and hangers-on and weirdos, why, I even heard that he hung out with a prostitute, of all people. Can you believe that? That is unexpected. The holy, likewise, is surprising. Tao, God, Gaia, Krishna, Kokapelli, and all the rest of the gods and powers and names of divinity, they are each surprising, hidden in the deep, wrapped in mystery, tricksters, unfathomable, unknowable, surprising. When I've felt the presence of the holy, the sacred, I was surprised. A few of you have heard this story. It was the summer between my last year of college and my first year of seminary. And a group of 200 Unitarian Universalist young adults had gathered for a conference in the woods in Washington State. I was the worship coordinator. And people came and they said, "We want a healing service." And I was a born-raised Unitarian Universalist, and at that time and place, I didn't know what that meant. What? I don't know. How do you do that? No idea. So we talked and people shared ideas and we came up with this plan that we would gather as we did in worship in concentric circles in the woods at night. People who needed healing would come to the center and we would put our hands on the backs in front of us while we were singing and we would send healing energy through our bodies to their bodies. And so we did that and I said, do this, send your energy and then surprise, it happened. And everybody there felt it. Afterwards, we said, can you believe? What was that? We had invoked it, and yet we were still surprised when it showed up. The holy is like that. We expect it, and yet we are still surprised when it comes. What about you? When have you been surprised by something you would call holy? Sacred. Maybe it was something in nature, the first crocus. You knew it was going to come. You can look at the calendar, but still, somehow, there it is, poking out. Alleluia, look. The breathtaking sunrise. Did you see it this morning in the east, the sun through the clouds? The beauty of a forest in the spring. Maybe it was a piece of art that surprised you. Good art is surprising, right? The impressionist painting feelings as much as fact were greeted with the exclamation, "I didn't know you could do that," as most art is greeted with. When a piece of music breaks the so-called rules in just the right way, whoa. When the plot of the book or the show or the play takes a great twist and we are surprised beyond words. "I didn't expect that. Wow." Something holy in that creativity, right? Or maybe it was people. The surprising love of another. The generosity. The forgiveness asked for or given that we did not expect. The reaching out when we thought we couldn't or didn't deserve it. And we're stunned. People can be so surprising, more loving, more courageous, wiser than we could have imagined. And the holy is enacted in these moments, revealed in human living, in creativity, and in the world that we share together. Of course, not all surprises are good ones. Of course, some are earth-shatteringly bad news. And I don't want to try to say that all surprises are good, that would be a ridiculous thing to say. Sometimes it's bad news. You know. The ancients understood this too, the arbitrary nature of existence, and sometimes thought of divinity in these terms, which we generally don't, but we recognize that life comes with twists and turns. The good and the bad come together. Without bad surprises, there would be no good surprises, just the same every day after day after day after day after day. But that's not how it is. Joy and sorrow woven fine. And on some days, I know we might wish for that, just nothing changes ever, but that's not the way it is. I'm sorry, but it just isn't. Things change. And sometimes they change in surprising ways. That's the truth. And we could wish them all away, but I'm afraid that's not going to work. So instead, I invite you this Easter to embrace them. Embrace them all so you can really celebrate the good ones, to see them as evidence of revelation. Of revelation that what is hidden becomes visible. When the boss gave the workers a full day's pay for a half day's work, the dignity of all was revealed. When the boy brought the empty egg, his deeper wisdom was revealed. When the tomb was empty, the futility of death's power over love was revealed. When art opens our soul, the power of creativity is revealed. When nature makes us stop or sing, or stand in awe, our interdependence is clear to see. When people are surprisingly generous, our true nature as lovers and neighbors shines out to the world. And when there is pain and tragedy in the world, our fragility and often our compassion is revealed for all to see. It is not only in the rose and not only in the bird, or where the rainbow glows, or the song of women heard, but in the darkest, meanest things, there always, always something sings. This is the message that Easter brings. So wrote long ago the bard of Concord, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and so we sing today. Revelation, to unveil what is hidden, to show what is unshown. We rush along in our lives from moment to moment, expecting the day and life and the world to just go along as planned. We don't notice the world as much as we could, and we don't notice the beauty of each other, or even more so of ourselves, as much as we should. But then something pulls us out of our routine, and we see as if for the first time. This is the power of revelation. This is the message of Easter. Unitarian Universalists believe, along with other religious liberals, that revelation is continuous, which is to say that it was not only thousands of years ago that miracles happened or that the presence of the sacred was felt in the world, but that the holy is everywhere and every now, in this moment and the next, in every person and possibility. And that the world and life speaks of what is miraculous and sacred all the time, not just long ago. Einstein said, "Take your pick. Either everything is a miracle or nothing is." We took our pick. Everything. Everything. And for that we sing, "Alleluia." The spring comes. Alleluia. Life comes to us again. Alleluia. Forgiveness and hope and peace and wonder comes as an unexpected visitor. Alleluia. We rise. Alleluia. Possibility comes. Alleluia. Surprise. Let's sing. Please rise in body or spirit. Please do be seated. It has been wonderful to be together for worship this morning. I'm so glad to see all of you today. We live our faith not just, of course, for an hour on Sunday, but throughout our lives. So I invite you to explore this month's theme of what does it mean to be a people of revelation. Perhaps I invite you to look for surprises of the Spirit and to rejoice when you find them. If you want to go deeper into the theme with other folks in the church, I encourage you to join a Spirit Journey group. You can join this month and be part of the conversations for April and May. See us at the membership desk to find out more. In your bulletin, there's a variety of announcements coming up. In particular, I want to highlight our Transform Thursday program, 5:30 dinner and 6 o'clock class I'm leading on, titled A Pagan of the Good Times. We're going to be doing some interpretation of popular music and art and the religious themes that are happening there. So please do come and sign up so we know that you're coming. Also, Tuesday night, I think we have a Boy Scout troop made up of church families and a bunch of other folks who meet here, and they're going to do a grounds cleanup. So the grounds need some cleanup. So come and help out. And I think the details are in the program. They would love to have more folks be part of that. In a moment, we'll take up an offering to support the work of justice and mercy and love in the world. We will collect today for Cornucopia Food Pantry, our longstanding partner to serve the needy in the Rockford area. Thank you for your generosity. If you're new today, we're so glad to have you here. I hope you checked in on the way in, if not on the way out. And we'd love to see you next week. Lou Ness, the Executive Director of Shelter Care Ministries and an Episcopal Deacon, will be preaching. And if you haven't seen Lou speak and talk about her passion and her journey in this work, it's be here. You don't want to miss it. I'll be preaching the ordination sermon for David Kramer, who was our intern last year up in Rochester, Minnesota that day. So Lou will be covering for me while I'm out of town. The offering will now be given and received. In a moment, I'll extinguish the chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These things we carry with us until we are together again. And while I do that, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and to join hands with folks near you for our benedictions. Our words of benediction from the Reverend Clark Dewey Wells. God of Easter and infrequent spring, announce the large covenant to deceitful lands, drive the sweet liquor through our parched veins, lure us to fresh schemes of life, rouse us from tiredness, self-pity, wet us for use, fire us with good passion, restore in us the love of living, bind us to fear and hope again. Let's sing together our closing blessing. Go your way in peace.